Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Emran's Podcast, Episode 90. It's Tuesday, May 20, 2008. On today's episode, I'm going to tell you about some Kiwi customs, things about living in New Zealand. And after that, I've got a couple of comments and a very important announcement about the next episode of the Emran's Podcast, Episode 91. But first, I thought I would just give you a quick update on the, the Moving the Podcast project or whatever. I have started uploading the old episodes to the new site. Now, here's the thing, it's a bit meta, sorry. But the new blog for the podcast, for the show notes, is a WordPress site, and I'm using PodPress to upload the episodes, to publish the episodes. And this has been an adventure. There's nothing simple about WordPress or PodPress, and getting it to work on a self-hosted site, as opposed to through WordPress, is a bit of a mission. I think that the help files on WordPress are sort of ironically named, to be honest, and it took me about 3 days to finally get my episodes to post. And at the end, it took several different Googles of several different variations on the question to finally find somebody who had encountered a similar enough problem that I could work out what was going on. I won't bore you with the details, but it essentially had to do with the fact that there were spaces in the file names, and I had to take those out and turn off the statistics because they don't work, apparently. So I got that all sorted, finally, and the new URL, or site, if you prefer, for the podcast show notes will be, drumroll please, amranspodcast.com. It's one word, amranspodcast.com. Now you think, well, why didn't I just use amrans.com since I already started that? Well, it's because I'm not switching it over, like turning off one light and turning on another. It's a process of migration, and I needed somewhere for the files to go, and the easiest and simplest thing to do was to just create a new URL. Now ultimately that will be the site for all of the show notes and all of the postings and all of that, and it has a feed burner feed, but you don't need to worry about any of that now. Because it's not posting to iTunes yet. It's just at this stage, I'm just uploading all the files. Now, all of the show notes that were originally on amrans.com, on my blog, will stay there. I won't delete them. You can always find them under the label or tag or whatever they call it, called, oddly enough, Amran's Podcast Show Notes. But I am cross-posting them on the new site as well. I'm just deleting some of the references, like to Podomatic and to iTunes, because the iTunes one may be changing, and the Podomatic certainly will. And I'm also putting in local graphics instead of linking back to Blogger. But apart from that, the show notes are basically identical. There are no comments, as of yet, on any of those early episodes, because I'm not obviously not going to copy the comments over. That wouldn't be right. I don't even know if it's possible, but it just wouldn't be right. So if you want to see the comments to the original episodes, you will need to look on my blog, and ultimately there will be a nice big emblem for you to click on to go to my blog. And also on my blog, there will be if you click on the show note, the album art, you'll be able to go directly to my podcast blog. But if you do want to leave a comment over on the new blog, you can. And by the way, any of you who are listening to the older episodes for the first time, if you want to leave a comment, by all means, feel free to. It doesn't matter how old it is. I'm always interested in what people have to say about the older episodes. I have plenty to say about them now, probably, because I don't like them very much. But anyway, be that as it may. The episodes that are up there at the moment, as I'm recording, are the first 10 episodes of the Amran's Podcast, episode 1 through 10. Which may be of interest to some of you who've only recently become a listener, because those the first 5 episodes, I think it is, are no longer available on iTunes. But they are available at amranspodcast.com. If you want to go over there, you can listen to it on the site, you can download them, what have you. You just can't get them through iTunes at the moment. Ultimately, you'll be able to, but just not right now. So those of you who missed out on hearing those first 5 episodes, now's your chance. They're not going anywhere. I'm not going to take them down. And so that is the update so far, and I will let you know when it's time to start changing your feed, or to resubscribe, as the case may be, through iTunes, but that time is not now. So if you want to go over and check out the new blog at amranspodcast.com, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome to leave a comment if you want. You'll see I put a dummy comment on a post that's called Progress Report or something like that, just because I wanted to see what happened, because I haven't had a WordPress blog before, and I wanted to see what happened when somebody made a comment. So, yep, that's the update so far. Now, onto the main topic today, which is, of course, Kiwi Customs. Now, I spell it a really goofy way, customs, because I didn't want anybody to think I was talking about, you know, the official function of customs and duties and all that sort of stuff, because that is way beyond my capacity. But this episode, basically, there's two things. First of all, it's inspired by listener Heather, who I've traded some emails with, who had an interesting question, I thought, about the character and pace of daily life in New Zealand. Now, this, of course, all relates to the upcoming episode I'm going to do about moving to New Zealand. But I thought I would just split this off by itself and talk a little bit about what day-to-day life is like in New Zealand. Some of this stuff I have talked about maybe in passing on other podcasts or other episodes of my podcast, but not necessarily all together in one spot before. And so I thought I would put that today. And it's also kind of a sort of a teaser, maybe get your thinking cap on for any questions you might want answered about New Zealand in general or about the idea of moving to New Zealand, because I'm going to be recording that episode one day next week, either Tuesday or Friday. I don't know yet. But I'll talk about that schedule a little bit more at the end of the podcast when I tell you about episode 91. But on with the thing about customs. First of all, I had to run some errands today, and it was a beautiful autumn day with the trees changing all sorts of different colors. Those trees, by the way, are what we call exotic, which means that they were imported from overseas, usually Europe or North America, maples and oaks and things like that. They're not native to New Zealand. The native trees in New Zealand are all evergreens, as I've said before, and they don't lose their leaves. They're not necessarily pines or conifers or whatever, by the way. I mean, some of them have, you know, like leaves. But New Zealand native trees don't lose their leaves, at least in the Upper North Island. I actually don't know about the colder areas, but I don't think they do. Anyway, but I mention that because the autumn colors, because we don't have fall in New Zealand, and that is one of the things you have to get used to, that the words, the language is different. What things are called, obviously, is not the same. And I've talked about this, that part, certainly in various other episodes. But in general, I would describe New Zealand as a laid-back, casual society. There's not much formality in day-to-day life here, certainly not much pretense. And most of New Zealand, of course, is rural in terms of area. Most of it is rural. A quarter of the population lives in the Auckland region, and three-quarters of the population lives in the North Island, and about half the population lives from Taupo north. If you can, well, you'd have to look on a map to know what I'm talking about, I suppose, but take my word for it. So that means that a good chunk of New Zealand is a fairly small area, small towns, small cities. Now, Auckland itself, as I said, the Auckland region has about 1.2 million people, give or take. And by my standards, that's a very small city because, I mean, I came from, not very small, it's a small city because I came from Chicago before I moved here. Although it's comparable probably to a city like Portland or something like that in terms of population, although I haven't checked that recently. It's big enough that it has some of the bigger city problems, but also a lot of the opportunities and advantages of a bigger city. However, that does mean that that a great many New Zealanders live in much smaller cities, maybe 100,000 or less, or in some cases much less. Nigel and I lived in a town that had 4,000 people in it before we moved back to Auckland. We lived there for, 2 or 3 years or whatever it was. So you sort of need to understand where people are coming from, that it's somewhat easier to be laid back and casual when most of the country isn't all that big in terms of population density. And also, as I've said before, nowhere in New Zealand is more than about an hour, hour and a half drive from a beach. So there's kind of a casual recreational attitude in New Zealand as well. But here are some specific things in ways in which New Zealand is different. In restaurants, the bill, which I always call a check in America, is never brought to the table. You always go up to the cash register to pay your bill, and you never, ever leave a tip. Now, both of those were a bit hard for me to get adjusted to when I first moved to New Zealand, but not leaving a tip was the hardest of all because I felt so bad. I felt like I was cheating the wait staff by not leaving a tip. But what you need to understand is that in New Zealand, wait staff, waiters, waitresses, you know, kitchen hands, everybody basically, are paid a decent wage. No full-time worker in New Zealand can be paid less than the minimum wage. And in restaurants, they're very often paid much more than the minimum wage because restaurants want to keep good staff. Now, that's not true at all restaurants and cafes, obviously, but you know, some don't pay all that well. But the fact of the matter is that they're not paid sub-minimum wage as they are in probably most of the U.S., maybe all of it for all I know. Certainly in Illinois, restaurants didn't have to pay minimum wage or anything classified as a restaurant, including amusement parks. And I know that because when I was in high school, I worked at an amusement park, and we were paid less than minimum wage because the amusement park was classified as a restaurant. So, yeah, so you don't leave a tip. Not at restaurants, not anywhere else for that matter either. It's not uncommon for office workers to have drinks on a Friday, and sometimes they're even at work. It used to be quite common to have what they called a drinks cabinet, where they would keep generally beer and some wine, maybe, usually cheap wine, as I understand it. And they'd bring that out on a Friday and sit around and have some drinks and talk. Nowadays, they're probably more likely to go to a nearby pub rather than have them at work, but people still do, sometimes only on special occasions, like around Christmas, for example. Because a great many places close down, businesses close down between Christmas and New Year's, since there are four public holidays in that stretch. Christmas Day, the day after, which is called Boxing Day, New Year's Day, and the day after, which doesn't have a name. but it is really quite common for workers to have drinks on a Friday after work. And most workers expect to be on a first-name basis with their superiors. And for me, that was really quite unusual. I mean, I've always been on a first-name basis, obviously, with my immediate superior, supervisor, or whatever. But for people far on up the company, that is a bit unusual as Mr. This or Mrs. That or whatever. Here, though, that's quite uncommon. If you're talking about the general manager of a division employing several hundred people, you'd still expect to call them Bill or Mary or whatever their name is. You wouldn't expect to call them Mr. or Doctor or whatever their title might be. It's really uncommon. Now, I suppose if there's somebody who has a very special title, like Sir Somebody or Other, you might call them like Sir Robert, because you may not know this, you don't use a surname with a knighthood. You only call them Sir and their first name, usually like Sir Robert or Sir John or whatever it might be. Although there are very few of those now because New Zealand no longer bestows knighthoods, but there's still several around from when New Zealand still did. But one more thing about workers is that holidays mean holidays. Because public holidays are days off for all workers, or they have to be paid a special rate, and that is negotiable, but it's generally at least time and a half, sometimes double time. They have to be paid a special rate and given a day off in lieu, a paid day off in lieu. Now, this comes into play, say, a public holiday is on a Monday and somebody normally works on a Monday, then they get paid a special rate for working that Monday and they get another day off later on at the time of their choosing, generally speaking. But basically everybody gets the days off there. But as I've also said, there are 3.5 days during the year when there's a total trading ban and almost nobody can open, or very few businesses can open. And that's Christmas Day, Easter Day, Good Friday, and Anzac Day morning are the total trading bans. And I think most of those will eventually get relaxed, but I doubt very much that Anzac Day morning will change. All full-time workers get 4 weeks annual leave a year, 20 days, and they cannot sell the time back to their employer. Now, at present, there's no requirement that they take the annual leave within a certain period, although most companies do require you to take it basically as it accrues. Because they don't want to carry the liability on their books. But the point of it is that the system is set up to forbid workers from working too much, that you're not allowed to sell your time back to your employer so that you basically have to take the time off. Although that said, the working week is getting longer for Kiwi workers just as it is for workers in most Western countries. I've forgotten what the average work week is now, but it's longer than 40 hours. Nevertheless, it's kind of good, I think. Well, it is good to know that when you have time off, that you're entitled to the time off and you can take the time off and nobody's going to give you any hassles about it because everybody else gets to as well. I've certainly worked in jobs where they give you a real hassle about taking time off and you're almost pressured to sell your time back to the company so that you can keep working. But that's not the way it is here. It's quite different. When you thank somebody for something, say they give you a book or whatever, or somebody's had you around for dinner and you say thank you, Kiwis don't say you're welcome, as we Americans might. They'll say that's all right, or no worries, or something along those lines, depending on what the occasion is. But they generally won't say you're welcome. That to Kiwis is a very American thing. They might even make fun of it, say you're welcome, things like that. But it took some getting used to for me because, I mean, habitually, if somebody thanked me for something, I'd say you're welcome, And I caught on pretty quickly that that just isn't a normal thing to do. Now, they didn't correct me. Nobody looked down on me for saying that. They probably thought it was cute at first. But I've been here long enough now that I can't get away with being cute anymore. One thing that is very different is that Kiwis never, ever talk salary. It's actually considered rude and offensive to talk about how much you make. Whereas I knew heaps of people in America, friends, not family so much actually, but a lot of friends who would talk about what their salaries were. That's just not done in New Zealand. As a matter of fact, people are actually reluctant to talk about how much they paid for something big, like say a house or a car. Although if they know the people they're talking with well, they're much more likely to talk about prices like that. But as a general rule of thumb, people don't like to talk about how much money they make or how much money they spend. They think it's just kind of, I don't know, kind of rude, especially to talk about how much money you make. Because historically, New Zealand has had a very egalitarian society, a very equal society, without much of a hierarchy and certainly no aristocracy. And it's sort of, because of that, the pressure was just not talk about how much money you made, because it helped perpetuate the, I don't want to say myth exactly, but the image of everybody being basically equal, even though everybody knows that's not true, and everybody knows that there are some people who get paid a lot more than others. And also there are, people here tend to dress very casually most of the time. Ties for men are becoming increasingly uncommon in modern offices in New Zealand. And even at a play or, say, a formal concert of some sort, people usually dress casually. Very often it's what you might call business casual, you know, like a nice shirt and pants. I'm talking about men, women. Well, actually, women are fairly similar. They might dress in what they would wear to the office. But a lot of people would wear jeans and a T-shirt even to a play or to, you know, a fairly nice concert. And the first few times I saw that, I was kind of taken aback, but I'm used to it now, I guess. But it sort of, I don't know, epitomizes how casual New Zealanders tend to be. They're not sloppy, mind you, they're just casual. I must add that. But a further example of how casual the society is in the government. The media, when they're interviewing the prime minister, usually refer to her directly as Helen, you know, by her first name. They don't call her prime minister. As a rule of thumb, they'll introduce her as Prime Minister Helen Clark, and then they'll go on and say Helen. And that took me some getting used to. The same is true with other cabinet ministers. And it's very easy to meet a high-ranking public official in New Zealand. It's not, they don't hide behind a huge wall of security as they do in America. Now, obviously, part of that is because we're a much smaller country, and so it's much easier to be closer to the people. And also because, let's face it, they're not under much threat, at least certainly not in the same amount of threat that, say, an American president would be. So it is easy in that sense for them to be close to the people. Now, I've gone to the campaign launches for the last three campaigns, I think it is, or two anyway, for the New Zealand Labour Party, because I'm a member of the Labour Party. And, I mean, I was rubbing shoulders with senior cabinet ministers. I haven't met the prime minister personally yet, but I've met the deputy prime minister, who's also the treasurer, and several other high-ranking cabinet officials. And the first time I saw that, it absolutely blew me away that could happen. But I was reading, this is a little while ago now, but I was reading the blog of Nick, who was on my podcast, Nick the Amarok. I can't remember the episode number off the top of my head. But on his blog, he was talking about being at some event in the park and just ran into the prime minister. So they had their photo taken with her. And that's not uncommon. That can happen quite a lot. I've certainly been no more than maybe a meter from her in the past. And it's been kind of freaky to think you're that close to the person who's running the country. But it is so common here. It kind of symbolizes the way New Zealand is, sort of down-to-earth, low-key, no pretense, no fuss. And I really quite like that about this place. So that's a little taste about what New Zealand is like to live in. I will certainly come back to that more if there are more questions about that, or if you want to know more, on the episode that I do about moving to New Zealand. But right now, before I talk any more about that episode, I'm going to go over the comments. And there's only two, so this won't take long. The first comment was from Fairy Princess Holly, who said, I hadn't thought of that point you made of Hillary bringing attention to the Democrats, even though she has almost no chance of being the nominated candidate at this time. It makes sense, and I guess I agree with you. I had been wanting her to drop out until you said that, but I guess you're right. As long as she keeps the focus on McCain's weaknesses and leaves Obama alone, it does help the party. And of course, what she's talking about is in the previous episode, I said that I didn't think that Hillary should drop out. I thought she should stay in as long as she didn't attack Obama, because it would help keep the focus off of McCain. And that was good for the Democrats ultimately in November. And I'll do my comment first. And I said, so far, that's what she seems to be doing. She just, not attacking Obama, she just said that the race isn't over yet. But in doing so, she didn't attack Obama. Looks like she has her eyes on the real prize, defeating McCain. And the next comment was from Frank, who said, I hate to agree with the talking heads, but some pointed out that when Bill Clinton was running, he lost in some state primaries where the opposition had already dropped out and caused people to say that he wouldn't be able to win the presidency. It has been suggested by some talking heads that Hillary has stayed in the race so that wouldn't happen to Obama, and she really hasn't been campaigning since Pennsylvania. As strategies go, it would make sense for her to continue a shadow campaign. Could there be an altruistic side to Hillary? And I said, I think you're right, and her staying in the campaign means that no one focuses on McCain's attacks on Obama over Iran either. When I talked about this last time, what I didn't mention is that I ran a short poll on my blog, amrins.com, and I didn't promote it in the podcast or anything. But the question was, should Hillary Clinton quit the U.S. presidential race? And the results were that there were 6 who said yes, 4 who said no. 1 said, no way, I'm a Republican. So that person either was being unusually honest or has my sense of humor, in which case I like this person a lot. And I had 2 people who said, I don't care. But it was just a little poll I just threw up on the blog, and I didn't promote it in any way. I didn't say anything about it, but I meant to mention it last time when I was talking about this and forgot. So those were the comments for this episode, and now I'm going to, first of all, I'll tell you about episode 91 because I'm very excited about it. Tomorrow, I am going to go and interview Monique Rhodes. Now, you may recall that I've played 2 of her songs as outros on the podcast, music from the Podsafe Music Network. And she's a New Zealand recording artist. She's in New Zealand right now and is about to perform an upcoming show, which I'll talk about more, or I'm sure she will talk about in the interview. But it's the first time I've spoken with a Kiwi musician. And I've been quite keen to promote New Zealand musicians overseas, because most of my listeners are, of course, not in New Zealand. Most are in North America or Europe. And so I'm quite anxious to be able to do that. And I'm especially glad to be having a chance to meet Monique in person. I met her first through Twitter, actually, and got to know her music that way. So she will be my special guest on episode 91 of the podcast. And the plan is that I'm going to post it on Friday. However, it is possible that I may not be able to do that, and it might not be until Tuesday of next week. And the main reason for that is that we have a family event this weekend, and I just might not have time to get it all finally edited and put it up. But episode 91 will be a special interview with Monique Rhodes, so look forward to that. And then next week, I will be doing the episode on moving to New Zealand. And so if you do have any questions or comments or anything that you want me to address, you can still email them to me at Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrins.com. And I get a move on. It'd be nice if you were able to send them by this weekend so that I'll have everything for that episode. But I've gotten some emails, I've gotten some comments, and some of which I've addressed, some of which I haven't. But I'm going to put it all together in that episode about moving to New Zealand. And it'll be about what it's like to do that, what you need to think about before you do it. Some things I may have discussed a little bit on other episodes, but this will be the first time I'll put it all together in one place. So if there's anything you want to know, now's your opportunity. But that's it for this episode of the Amrins Podcast. For the time being, you can still leave comments on the show notes on my main blog, which is amrins.com. They won't be moving to the new one for quite a while yet, so you should go to my main blog. Or you can send an email to me at Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrins.com. And of course, you can ring my U.S. listener line, which is 206-339-8413. But that is it for today, and I will be back again next time with episode 91 and the interview with Monique Rhodes. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.